Random House Audio presents The Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown. Read for you by Paul Michael.
Prologue. Louvre Museum, Paris, 10:46 p.m. Renowned curator Jacques Saunière staggered through the vaulted archway of the museum's grand gallery. He lunged for the nearest painting he could see, a Caravaggio. Grabbing the gilded frame, the 73-year-old man heaved the masterpiece toward himself until it tore from the wall and Saunière collapsed backward in a heap beneath the canvas. As he anticipated, a thundering iron gate fell nearby, barricading the entrance to the suite. The parquet floor shook. Far off, an alarm began to ring. The curator lay a moment, gasping for breath, taking stock.
"I am still alive."
He crawled out from under the canvas and scanned the cavernous space for some place to hide. A voice spoke, chillingly close.
"Do not move."
On his hands and knees, the curator froze, turning his head slowly. Only 15 feet away, outside the sealed gate, the mountainous silhouette of his attacker stared through the iron bars. He was broad and tall, with ghost-pale skin and thinning white hair. His irises were pink, with dark red pupils. The albino drew a pistol from his coat and aimed the long silencer through the bars directly at the curator.
"You should not have run."
His accent was foreign and not easy to place.
"Now, tell me where it is."
"I told you already,"
the curator stammered, kneeling defenseless on the floor of the gallery.
"I have no idea what you are talking about."
"You are lying."
The man stared at him, perfectly immobile, except for the glint in his ghostly eyes.
"You and your brethren possess something that is not yours."
The curator felt a surge of adrenaline.
How could he possibly know this?
"Tonight, the rightful guardians will be restored. Tell me where it is hidden, and you will live."
The man leveled his gun at the curator's head.
"Is it a secret you will die for?"
Saunière could not breathe. The man tilted his head and closed one eye, peering down the barrel of his gun. Saunière held up his hands in defense.
"Wait,"
he said slowly.
"I will tell you what you need to know."
The curator spoke his next words carefully. The lie he told was one he had rehearsed many times, each time praying he would never have to use it. When the curator had finished speaking, his assailant smiled smugly.
"Yes, this is exactly what the others told me."
Saunière recoiled.
"The others?"
"I found them too," the huge man taunted. "All three of them. They confirmed what you have just said."
"It cannot be."
The curator's true identity, along with the identities of his three seneschaux, was almost as sacred as the ancient secret they protected. Saunière now realized his three seneschaux, following strict procedure, had told the same lie before their own deaths. It was part of the protocol. The attacker aimed his gun again.
"When you are gone, I will be the only one who knows the truth."
"The truth?"
In an instant, the curator grasped the true horror of the situation.
"If I die, the truth will be lost forever."
Instinctively, he tried to scramble for cover. The silencer spat, and the curator felt a searing heat as the bullet lodged in his stomach. He fell forward, struggling against the pain. Slowly, Saunière rolled over and stared back through the bars at his attacker. The man was now taking dead aim at Saunière's head. Saunière closed his eyes, his thoughts a swirling tempest of fear and regret. The click of an empty chamber echoed through the corridor. The curator's eyes flew open. The man glanced down at his weapon, looking almost amused. He reached for a second clip, but then seemed to reconsider, smirking calmly at Saunière's gut.
"My work here is done."
The curator looked down and saw the bullet hole in his white linen shirt. It was framed by a small circle of blood a few inches below his breastbone.
My stomach.
Almost cruelly, the bullet had missed his heart. As a veteran of La Grande Guerre, the curator had witnessed this horribly drawn-out death before. For 15 minutes, he would survive as his stomach acid seeped into his chest cavity, slowly poisoning him from within.
Pain is good, monsieur,
the man said. Then he was gone. Alone now, Jacques Saunière turned his gaze again to the iron gate. He was trapped, and the doors could not be reopened for at least 20 minutes. By the time anyone got to him, he would be dead. Even so, the fear that now gripped him was a fear far greater than that of his own death.
I must pass on the secret.
Staggering to his feet, he pictured his 3 murdered brethren. He thought of the generations who had come before them, of the mission with which they had all been entrusted.
An unbroken chain of knowledge.
Suddenly now, despite all the precautions, despite all the fail-safes, Jacques Saunière was the only remaining link, the sole guardian of one of the most powerful secrets ever kept. Shivering, he pulled himself to his feet.
I must find some way.
He was trapped inside the Grand Gallery, and there existed only one person on earth to whom he could pass the torch. Saunière gazed up at the walls of his opulent prison. A collection of the world's most famous paintings seemed to smile down on him like old friends. Wincing in pain, he summoned all of his faculties and strength. The desperate task before him, he knew, would require every remaining second of his life. Chapter 1. Robert Langdon awoke slowly. A telephone was ringing in the darkness, a tinny, unfamiliar ring. He fumbled for the bedside lamp and turned it on. Squinting at his surroundings, he saw a plush Renaissance bedroom with Louis XVI furniture, hand-frescoed walls, and a colossal mahogany 4-poster bed.
Where the hell am I?
The Jacquard bathrobe hanging on his bedpost bore the monogram Hotel Ritz, Paris. Slowly the fog began to lift. Langdon picked up the receiver.
Hello?
Monsieur Langdon, a man's voice said. I hope I have not awoken you.
Dazed, Langdon looked at the bedside clock. It was 12:32 a.m. He had been asleep only an hour, but he felt like the dead.
This is the concierge, monsieur. I apologize for this intrusion, but you have a visitor? He insists it is urgent.
Langdon still felt fuzzy.
A visitor?
His eyes focused now on a crumpled flyer on his bedside table. The American University of Paris proudly presents An Evening with Robert Langdon, Professor of Religious Symbology, Harvard University. Langdon groaned. Tonight's lecture, a slideshow about pagan symbolism hidden in the stones of Chartres Cathedral, had probably ruffled some conservative feathers in the audience. Most likely some religious scholar had trailed him home to pick a fight.
I'm sorry, Langdon said, but I'm very tired and—
Mais monsieur,
the concierge pressed, lowering his voice to an urgent whisper.
Your guest is an important man.
Langdon had little doubt. His books on religious paintings and cult symbology had made him a reluctant celebrity in the art world, and last year Langdon's visibility had increased 100-fold after his involvement in a widely publicized incident at the Vatican. Since then, the stream of self-important historians and art buffs arriving at his door had seemed never-ending.
If you would be so kind, Langdon said, doing his best to remain polite, could you take the man's name and number and tell him I'll try to call him before I leave Paris on Tuesday? Thank you.
He hung up before the concierge could protest. Sitting up now, Langdon frowned at his bedside guest relations handbook, whose cover boasted, Sleep like a baby in the city of lights, slumber at the Paris Ritz. He turned and gazed tiredly into the full-length mirror across the room. The man staring back at him was a stranger, tousled and weary.
You need a vacation, Robert.
The path.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?